Well, I can say amen to that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've been blessed. God has been so very good to me. And if you think about it, God has been so very good to you. Nothing that's happened in our life was happenstance, or we're not like the dust that's blown on the wind, but God has a plan for yours and my life. And sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we can't reason it, don't make sense. The things that we go through are the things that happen in life. But know this, God loves us. And God's got a plan behind everything. I like what you said last week, son. There ain't nothing that happens catches God by surprise. God knew exactly where we would be and what we would be in need of. And God has a word for us this morning if we will open up the ears of our heart and let Him speak. And I certainly desire your prayers. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, the fourth chapter back in the Old Testament, one of the last or maybe the second to last books of the Old Testament before we get into the New. And in that fourth chapter, I want to kind of give you the setting of how this scripture is written, or who it's written to and what was going on at the time. I think it's relevant to where we're at even this morning as we stand in the presence, and you see it in the... I'm going to ask you to do this for just a second. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet for just a moment. I don't often do this, but I feel led of God to ask you to stand. Let me read for just a moment, and I'll let you sit down. And the angel that talked with me came again and walked with me as a man that is awakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, and a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes that go to the seven lamps which are on the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one bowl on the right side, or one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of the bowl." So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And he answered in verse 6 and said unto me, "This is a word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, as we come to you this morning, in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that be in the name of Jesus, I'm so glad, Lord, that it is not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit. Oh God, as they looked and they saw that precious golden oil coming out of those trees, God, I'm so glad there is a reservoir that flows in the hearts of men. From the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that touches our lives and moves our souls. I'm so glad for your Spirit, God, and I know that, Lord, we can do nothing in this flesh. It's not by the might of a man. It's not by the power of man, but it's by your Spirit. Oh, God, I'm so glad when you saved me, you put something down inside me to give me strength in a time, Lord, of weakness. You give me peace in a time of trouble, to give me joy in a time of sadness. And God, we pray this morning, let your Spirit move in the hearts of your people. In Christ's name we humbly beg, amen and amen. I thank God for his word this morning. The setting of this scripture is whenever God had allowed the children of Israel, some of the remnant, to go back and rebuild the temple of God in the days of Ezra. And so they have gone back to their homeland, and they've gone back to the city of Jerusalem, and they started to work again and began to rebuild the temple of God. Oh, not God have a house in the midst of his people. Oh, not God. And I'm not talking about just Israel. I'm talking about here in the United States States of America. I'm nobody here at Silver City Church. Oh, not God have a place where we can come together and worship and feel the good presence of God, where you can bring your reservoir of oil and I can bring my reservoir of oil and we can gather them together. And oh, when we gather them together, how beautiful it is and how good it feels and common and peaceful to the souls of men, women, boys and girls. But here they went back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and not just the city but most of all the temple of God. And they got there and they had begun the work, and in the midst of the work they came messages from the enemies that said, you need to shut it down and you need to stop doing what you're doing. And they got really discouraged and they sat down on God. They were a people that had been called of God to do a specific thing for a specific purpose, but they all got down and out and they sat down on God. I tell you, I've not come here this morning to sit down on God. I've been called for a specific purpose. Thank God this morning you've not come here to sit down on God. Oh, I tell you, there are a lot of people that feel like this is the darkest hour of our lives. Nay, nay, nay. Oh, when the presence of God passes by, I'm right where I want to be this morning. Aren't you glad that even in the darkest hour, there's a light that shines in the darkness and we can feel something? Discouraged, they got started to build in it. And old Sanballat and Tobiah, some of the kings around them, said, boys, you need to stop. They even sent word to the king that had allowed them to come and said, they're going to gain power and they're going to go out from underneath your reign. You need to shut them down. Wouldn't the enemy love to shut down the church? Wouldn't the enemy love to shut down your testimony? Wouldn't he love to get you in a place where you're too scared or ashamed or sad or troubled to speak up and tell somebody about what God has done for you? I'm going to tell you, you may come in here sad, but you can leave happy. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. And I'll tell you this morning, there's strength in the presence of the Lord. They were so discouraged and so down and out, they just sat down and quit and said, what's the use? Oh, I'm telling you, if you've come here with that attitude this morning, if you've come here, realize our purpose is not the politics of this age. Our purpose is the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were so discouraged. Oh, Lord, I throw my glasses down, didn't even know it. They were so discouraged. Anybody in here suffering from fatigue and discouragement? The little man of God, notice, had to be awakened out of his slumber. I've been asleep for 2-3 months. Hey, I've stood and I've preached behind this pulpit. But I'm telling you, the Lord passed by and woke me up. And I'm awake now to the goodness of the things of God. Some of you are asleep to it. You bought the hook, line, and sinker. You bought the news and the media that are telling you you're this, you're that, you're the other. They're liars. We're children of God, and we can rejoice in the house of the Lord. It's our Father's house. And I'm always welcome here. It's not a place for thieves. It's a place for prayer. They're so discouraged. Here we started to build something that God has told us to build. And it's not going too well up to this point. And God awakens the prophet out of his slumber and says, go and tell them this. I've got a message for you, Zechariah. I've got something I want to show you. He gives him a vision and he sees two big olive trees, and if you'll have it, they've got reservoirs of oil that are running out of them. I want to tell you, listen, those trees, that bark had to be wounded. It had to be opened. But there was oil, precious golden oil, flowing down into bowls that went into the lamps and lid of that menorah, if you'll have it that way. We see that same candlestick or that same setup in the book of Revelation. I'm telling you, church, we don't have to die of a lack of oil. God's got plenty of it. And those trees had to be wounded. What are those trees? Oh, I see grace and mercy. I see the word of God. Out of the grace and mercy of God, out of the sacrifice Christ made, we get the precious oil out of what Christ done on Calvary. And by our faith in Him and Him alone, God fills us with His Spirit. There's a reservoir that reaches unto heaven, and God wants to fill your cup. Two trees. You can't have grace and mercy without the word of God and truth. Jesus prayed and he said, Father, thy word is truth. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the naysayers say. God's word is truth. Let God be true. You know why? Because all men are liars. You found that out yet? He said, I saw the trees and I saw the oil. And the Lord told me, or I asked a question, what are these? And he said, you don't know. In verse 6, then he answered, and the word of the Lord said this unto Zerubbabel, it's not by my might nor by power, but by my spirit. I want you to hear me. It's not by politics. It's not by education. It's not by military movement in the street. It's not with guns and knives. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. Trust in God. They were exhausted. They had run out of energy. They had run out of strength. They had run out of desire. And they said, you know what? It ain't worth it. We're just going to sit here and let what happens happen. Shame on you, Christian, if that's the way you believe. We have a part in the matter. But this battle won't be won in the streets of our cities with machine guns. It won't be won in the politics of our age. I'm so sick of politics. By its very nature, it is divisive. It is dividing us. I'm telling you, in the eyes of God, I don't care if you're a D or an R. I don't care if you're black or white. I don't care if you're male or female. None of that matters in the eyes of God. It's time to turn all that stuff loose and trust in the Lord together. I'm telling you, listen, if we get so caught up in the politics of our day, there's a spirit that gets in us, a spirit of anger and frustration, and we begin to lose patience with one another. I want to tell you, if they've been saved by the grace of God, I don't care what their politics are, they're my brother. Oh, I won't have that preacher. You may not like it, but it be so. Well, how can they believe? Like they believe, I don't know and I don't understand all that. And it's not for me to judge. God has called me to love people. God has called me to show compassion and empathy toward people. And if we don't learn how to love each other, we will die. We can't even disagree anymore without getting so mad at each other we're ready to fight. There are people who got different experiences than I do and see things different than I do. And I may not understand it, but if I take a moment and step back for just a little bit, I can still love them. I'm telling you, there's a movement that's coming. It's already started in our nation. It is going through the churches that says we ought to pick up our guns and we ought to fight. I'm telling you, if we do that, all hope will be lost. Well, I'm a red-blooded American. So am I. I love my freedom. So do I. But I'm trusting in the Spirit of God to do something. Tell you what he tells them. He says, this is what the angel says. He says, who art thou, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? You'll be like a plain. You say, Brother Russell, look at all the mountains that are hindering us, all the things that stand in our way. The angel said, what is that mountain to God? He can level it and make it a plain. He's God. You say, oh, there are too many mountains. I'm telling you, God knows how to level the mountains. He said they shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting and crying, saying, grace be unto you. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a time to trust your emotion. Now's a time to trust the grace of God. I ain't getting a lot of amens. That's all right. I'm enjoying it anyway. Hey, you ain't got to agree with me. You don't validate what God gives me. And I don't mean this to sound arrogant, but I mean it to be true. Hey, I'm accountable to God for what I say. And it better be from God. If I ain't got love in it, God didn't give it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel has laid the foundations of the house. You've got started on this work and you will finish it. I don't know much, but I know this. God, who begun a good work in me, will perform it until the day of Christ. God has started something at Silver City Church, and God will finish it if we'll be used of God. Oh, I love this next scripture. Oh, ain't you glad all scripture is given by the inspiration of God? It's good for reproof, rebuke. It's good for exhortation. It's good to thoroughly finish the people of God. His hands shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Notice verse 10. Now, church, if you get anything, I want you to look at verse 10. Mark it down. Let it get into your soul and your spirit. Let it stir and give you strength. For who hath despised the day of small things? We look at a situation and call it a storm, or it's negative in our lives, and we look at it and it's so traumatic and it's so final, and oh, it's done so much damage, and oh, there's no hope to recover from it. But I'm going to tell you, out of the ashes of ruin, God can do something great, and it starts out small. It's as small as me telling you, regardless of what you believe, I love you. It's as small as sticking my hand out and saying, brother, if we look long enough, we'll find some things that we disagree on. You've been saved, and I've been saved. And we're going home, we're going to the same place. How dare us let the politics of our age divide us and make fodder of us? We're better than that. It's not a political movement we've ever needed to begin with. It's a revival from heaven. It's to have God move in the hearts of his people. And I'm going to tell you this. You'll never see our nation change till we learn to love people. I've been one of the most judgmental hateful people when I get discouraged. But I'm going to tell you something. God done woke me up. God done shook me up, Dave. God help my pitiful attitude. I judge my brother and I judge my sister. God help me. I can't win them if I can't love them. Now, I'm not trying to change their politics. I don't care. I want to see them saved by the grace of God. There is a greater cause. It's the cause of Christ. He says, don't despise the small beginning. And listen, I want you to hear this. That little thing that God tells you to do might turn into something great. That little old lady that you work with that you never talk to because she don't look like you and she don't vote like you. If you go up to her and show her a little love and respect and compassion, you might just win her to Jesus. That man that's hateful, and that man that has been brought up to just be a survivor, if you show him a little grace and respect and love, you might just make an impression and change his life. But you can't sit down and do nothing. We can't say we've done nothing long enough and look at where we're at. I've done nothing long enough. And look at where we're at. What is the heart of God? What is the heart of Christ? Did he not die for all? Did he not die forever whoso will? Why has it got to the point that we won't associate the people that don't look and think like we do? I'm telling you, the love of God is greater than all that stuff. God can't use you in your bitter state. God can't use you in your angry state. You won't do good for the kingdom. You'll harm the cause of the kingdom. I'm telling you, you mark my word, it's coming. It's already going on. It won't be long. There'll be men from behind the pulpit that are calling for their people to go out and take up arms against other people. I'm telling you, God's grace is greater than that. And we're going to blow this opportunity if we're not careful. And it's not somebody else's job to do my part. Sit back and blame it on the politicians all you want. What are you doing? What have you done for Christ? What have you done to sow seeds of love and mercy? What have you done to unite the people around you? What have you done to be a peacemaker? I'm having to eat this, y'all. I've got to eat it as I preach it. I'm ashamed. We've gotten so arrogant in our beliefs and we've gotten so arrogant. And don't get me wrong, we need to have a backbone like a saw log. We need to stand up. But if we don't do it in love, we're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's just a noise. It says, I answered and I said to him in verse 11, what are these two olive trees by the right side of the candlestick, one on the left side? And I answered again and said, what are these olive branches which these golden pipes empty their oil and they pour into them? And he said, do you know not? And I said, no. And he said, these are my two anointed ones that stand by the Lord on the whole earth. I'm telling you, in that right there, I see the Old Testament saints of God and I see the church of today. We are the ones that are standing between a lost and dying world and the destruction of God. And the oil is not going to flow from the world or through politics. It will come through the church. But they're wrong and I'm right. Yeah. You may be. Let me say this. If it's against the Word of God, it's wrong. Do I have an amen? If it is contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. But how many of you know that are married, you can be right and still be wrong? Oh, I'm going to explain myself. Keena ain't here, and y'all don't have to tell her about that last call. You can be right, but you can present your rightness in such a wrong way that you offend them and make it worse. This ain't about how right we are. It's about a Savior that loves us all. And if we're not careful, guys, we're going to lose this generation. We're going to lose this nation. And it's not politics. It has to come from the church. It has to. Stand to your feet. All of you that will. Hey, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what to do with this message. I've preached it. Lord, I've sweated it, I've cried it, I've snotted it. This thing has got down in my bones. It's got down on the inside of me, and God has rebuked me, and God has reproved me. And now God, in due season, will exhort. How is your love? See, you're going to go out in the next few weeks and you're going to have a choice in how you live your life. We have it every day, don't we? You got a choice to get up out of bed or stay in the bed. You got a choice of how you react with people around you. Lord have mercy. You know what? This is so awful to say, but and I'm being honest. It's horrible when Christians are the most hateful people in the world. It does such a harm and a damage to the body of Christ. Somehow, that oil that flowed from them olive trees has got to flow in your life and mine. It is golden. It's beautiful. It's got an aroma. You know what it smells like? It smells like love. It melts the hearts of the adversary. And they ain't going to always agree, and we ain't always going to agree, but I tell you what we can agree to do. We can agree to love people. And so much of the church, my heart is broken. I'm afraid so, and I'm not talking about Super City, I'm talking about the church in general. So much of the church is going to be so caught up in the political whirlwind of our day, they're going to miss the opportunity we have to come together and do something for Jesus. Say, oh, these politicians sure have made it rough. What have you done to make it better? I'm not asking what are they going to do. I know what they're going to do. They're going to lie, they're going to cheat, and they're going to steal. And everybody said, amen. You are children of God. Your Father sent His Son Jesus to die on your behalf and my behalf. And if He loved me and died for me, then surely He loves them and died for them. Oh, guys, we've never lived in a time like this. But that don't mean that in the midst of all this stuff, God can't elevate the church above all the mess that's going on around us. And I'm persuaded He can, and if we ask Him to, He will. Get a song, come on. If your heart right now, I'm not talking about 10 days from now, I'm not talking about 5 days ago, I'm talking about right now as we stand. If your heart is full of bitterness and strife and anger and disappointment and confusion, you ought to talk to the Lord and pour that stuff out, because all that's going to do is plug up the oil from coming in. Relieve all that stuff and all that mess, and forget about all that stuff that divides and all the political mess that's going on around us. And somebody, get a hold of Jesus and say, Lord, I know my love falters, but I, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Now, Baptist Church, we don't talk about this a lot. I'm going to tell you something. When we're saved, we get all of God that's to be God, filled with His Spirit. That's how we know we are the sons of God. But I want to ask you, how many of you are drinking from that spiritual cup? How long has it been since that God put in you, that clean, that joy, that peace, and most of all that love, since it's been purified? Now, I'm not saying you need to get saved again. What I am saying is, go back to Bethel and get a hold of that oil. I've been such a wretch this week. God help me, Jack. Been such a bitter, angry person. Over what? Somebody that was raised different from me that don't believe like I believe. I can't hate. It's not in my heart to hate. It's in my heart to love. Church, we got to get it worked out. We got to get this right. And it starts with you, and it starts with me. And it starts right now. Go ahead, Steve.
When He walks among us, all that He does, all of His mercy, all of His love, if the pen of a writer could write every day, even His words could never explain how much I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, and the changing of leaves. Food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. And so I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that can raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. For I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, our brothers and sisters and memories made, our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal and the blood that still saves. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. And so I'll just thank Him. so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and all that it's worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty tall. All have gave some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down. That rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed. That place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason that I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. And so I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been.